Well, I think Grayson would like to thank Cassandra for making him feel much better. It's a reminder that we're all just people, right? We have our good moments, we have our not so good moments, but thankfully, the Lord loves us in spite of those not so great moments in our life. Aren't you thankful for that truth this morning? And so as we get to our message this morning, I want to simply, first of all, reflect upon that final song. What a beautiful song that was before our junior church dismissal, reflecting upon what we get to look forward to, right? I love the thought of that song that it references what Revelation says, that there's not going to be any more pain, that there's not going to be any more suffering, that there's not going to be any more tears. They'll be wiped away, for the former things are passed away. And so we get to look forward to that day. But how do we get through the trials and tribulations of our day and time? Well, a couple weeks ago, as you might recall, that we referenced the hardships of life, and that we do indeed face trials and tribulations. But in the midst of those trials and tribulations, we serve a God that we can trust, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your path. We serve a God that is trustworthy, whom we can trust. And even if we're going through crisis, as we referenced last week, He is a God who can comfort us in the midst of the crisis, whatever that may be, whatever we are going through. We serve the God of all comfort, who will comfort us in all our times of distress. And this morning, I want to kind of go with a theme. It wasn't intended to be a series, but it kind of looks like it has become a series, an unofficial series. And I want to touch on the issue of when you have a sense of desperation. When you have a sense of desperation. Now, many can testify that there's been some time in their life where they've had a sense of desperation in their life. It's that moment where you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes it could be some financial hardships. Sometimes it can be some family situations that you're going through. Sometimes it can be in your workplace. Whatever it may be, whether it be emotional, physical, or even spiritual, we can all relate to the fact that there are times in which we have a sense of desperation. But that can be a bad thing, but it can also be a good thing. Because in those moments of desperation, many of us can relate to the fact that in those moments of desperation, that it can cause us to cry out to the Lord in our time of need. Anybody relate to that? You don't have to show your hands, but I imagine if you're anything like me, you've been around for some time in this life, if even as a follower of Christ, you go through difficult times, right? Challenges. And there might be times that you have been, or maybe you are, or will feel desperate. I want to point you, first of all, before we even get to our text this morning, that many of the Bible characters felt that way from time to time. The psalmist said this, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." What is he saying? He's saying, I am desperate for you. And so this morning, the title of the sermon is, Desperation is Not Your Final Destination. Desperation is not your final destination. I'm going to invite you to turn with me now to what is our text, which is John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, which is our passage this morning. And I want to give a little background of what is taking place in John chapter 4 as we approach what is our text this morning. John chapter 4, we see account after account, and where Jesus is having interaction and encounter with those that are feeling very desperate in their moments of their life. And then we get up to our text, and so what has happened by this point is that the word has gotten out that Jesus is doing miracles in the midst. He is healing in people's time of hardship. And so then we have an encounter with a nobleman in our text we're going to examine this morning. A little bit about his background. He came from a very influential background. This nobleman, theologians say, was from the royal court of Herod Antipas. But his heart is broken. He's distressed. He's feeling very desperate because he's a father. And in this passage, what we see is he's coming from a father's perspective. Join me now as we go to our passage. Once again, John chapter 4, and we pick up in verse 46 when it goes on to say this. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that all throughout the Word of God, you have given us examples and lessons that we can rely on because we're human too. And we're going through the same difficulties and the trials and tribulations that people throughout the ages in this fallen world have had to experience and have had to encounter. We're so thankful that there's always hope in our relationship with you. So help us, O Father, to explore that this morning. Bless this time. May your blessing be upon this message, and may your Holy Spirit teach us your truths, and may we then apply them to our life. This we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to take us through the journey of the nobleman and his great need that was met by Jesus. As we look at this passage, we see that once again, this was a man of great resources and influence in his day and time. But none of that mattered. Did you see that? It didn't matter because before he's any of those things, he's a father who desperately loves and cares for his son who is sick and is at the point of death, and he needs healing. And so notice that this nobleman approaches Jesus and he pleads for him to heal his son. He begs him to heal his son. We're reminded that that was a wise choice by the nobleman to seek out Jesus. Jesus was the one who had the answers. Jesus was the one that could heal his son. And so he boldly approaches Jesus in a time of distress, a time of desperation, and he's pursuing the Lord and asking for help in his time of need. Follow Christ, in your moment of distress, in your moment of desperation, go to the Lord in your time of need. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you have faced in the past necessarily. I don't know what you're going to face in the future. But in those moments, once again, of distress and desperation. It can become a positive thing if we'll boldly approach Jesus in those difficult times. I love what Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says about this. This is to the believer. This is to the follower of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, that seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And aren't you so thankful that we have a Savior who understands our weaknesses? We have a Savior who understands the times of loss and times of grief and times of hurt and times of pain, because He went through it all, yet without sin. And so we come to a great God whom we can cast all our cares upon Him, for He does indeed care for us. He understands the issues that we have. And so once again, we boldly approach the throne of grace and find help in time of need. That's exactly what the nobleman did. He boldly approached Jesus. And then we also go on to see in our passage that when he approached Jesus and when he had this encounter with Jesus, he believes in Jesus. In verse 48 through 49, we see the intensity of the situation escalate, if you will. The nobleman continues to be persistent. He continues to ask. He continues to beg Jesus to come heal his boy. But something interesting happens, because he did believe. But then Jesus is going to challenge him. He is going to challenge him because he needed his faith to be developed. He needed his faith to grow. And so he puts out the challenge to him. Many of us can also relate to that situation as well. Many here today in this congregation have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for that truth. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by faith, you're on your way to heaven. But until we get there, our faith needs to grow. Our faith needs to develop. For this gentleman, so many years ago, his faith is partial, but it needs to be perfected. And so our faith is partial. We even cry out as the individual in the Gospels cry out, "I believe, but help my unbelief." And so often what happens in our lives is, by way of God developing us and perfecting our faith and developing it and helping to grow, it is through the trials and tribulations that the Lord uses that as an instrument to grow our faith. In our life, it is often the times in which God will test us and try us that He is perfecting our faith and growing our faith. James 1, 2, 3, 4 references this, as it goes on to say, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." In other words, God has a purpose and God has a plan in your situation that you're going through. He wants to develop you and grow you, and He has a purpose. He will not waste your pain. He will not waste your suffering. He has a purpose and plan for our lives. the Old Testament. We see that very truth in the midst of the children of Israel as they are going through difficult times and situations, as they're going through persecution and suffering. It's in that passage in Jeremiah that we are reminded that God has a plan for one's life. Not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. We serve a God who we can trust in, who gives us hope, who comforts us in our distress, yes, through our times of crisis, yes, but for a purpose to develop us into the person that He desires for us to be, to complete in us His work. I'm reminded of the teenager t-shirt that was developed so long ago. In fact, some of the teenagers still have it, and it references the fact that we are a work in progress. Anybody relate to that truth? Maybe I'm the only one. I'll raise my hand. Don't you raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. But once again, in this passage, we learn so great from the story and the journey of the nobleman. He boldly, first of all, approaches the one who can help him, who is Jesus. He believed in Jesus. And once again, after his faith is tested and tried, his faith in Jesus is broadened. You see, while the nobleman had initially wanted Jesus to come with him and to heal his son, he's going on begging him, "Come with me, heal my son." Watch in verse 50 as we see the development take place in the story. Because it's in 50 and then the verses beyond that, that we see that Jesus tests his faith by sending him away and stating that his son was healed. And the very act of the nobleman actually leaving and returning to his home is both an act of obedience and literally a step of faith. Jesus declares to him, excuse me, "Your son lives." And he goes on home, and as he approaches his home, then he sees the servants that are coming out to meet him. And they're so excited. They bring to him good tidings, if you will, of great joy, if you will. And they go on to explain the exciting news that his son had miraculously been healed and that his son lives. After further inquiring about when was the time in which he was healed, it became quite evident that when Jesus had declared to the nobleman, "Your son lives," is when the miracle took place and when he was healed. But the Lord did allow him to be tested and tried. He believed partially, but now he believes completely. Do you see there was a purpose and a plan and all that took place in this passage? His faith is being developed. And I want to go on to point out that even something greater happens in the final verses of our passage, in the final verses of our text, because not only does a nobleman's son receive physical healing, but if you caught it, the entire household, watch this, receives spiritual healing. Did you catch that? Notice that the household, upon hearing the report and seeing the miracle take place, that most importantly, the whole household comes to Christ and they believe in Jesus. Now, we live in a fallen world. Sin has impacted and affected this fallen world. One of the consequences of sin is that physical disease came upon us. Physical death comes upon us. All of those things are terrible things. Jesus went to the cross to deal with those things. By His stripes we are healed. And so in the future, all of those physical things will be taken away, for the former things have passed away. And so we won't have to deal with those physical ailments anymore, disease and death and such, the pain of this life because of the fallen world. But there's something greater that takes place at the cross. And that is that spiritual healing takes place. Salvation is made available to all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be saved. And so the sins, most importantly, are forgiven because of the work of Christ on the cross. And so we've got great news for you today. The key has always been to believe in Jesus. To believe in Jesus. And one places their faith and their trust in Jesus and His finished work on the cross, the death, the burial. But thank goodness and thank God, He rose again. And because He rose again, we experience victory. Victory over the physical realm, if you will. But most importantly, victory in the spiritual realm, which is so much more important, for that is what will take place for all eternity. I got good news for you. If you believe in Jesus, you will be saved. I love what John 1, verses 12 through 13 says about this truth this morning. Goes on to say this, but as many as received Him, referring to Jesus, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In other words, you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. And isn't that exactly what Jesus told Nicodemus? Remember John chapter 3? Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a religious ruler, comes to Jesus by night. You remember that story? John chapter 3. And in that conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus, who at the time is a religious scholar of his day and time, should have known the answers of God. He was an expert, or supposed to be an expert, in this field. But Jesus went to explain unto him, you must be born again. A little bit humorous for a moment, because Nicodemus actually thinks that he would have to be physically born again. That's impossible, he goes on to say. I cannot be born of my mother again, the story goes on to say. But Jesus reveals to him that this is not physical birth. All of us have been born physically, haven't we? You certainly have. By way of you being here, you have been born physically some time ago. But most important than the physical realm is the spiritual realm. And you and I must be born again. It is of God and God alone. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of myself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But it's all about what He did and what He has done to provide salvation for you and for me. And maybe you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that final verse, may it testify to you that, but as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to become a child of God. You have the right, you have the privilege, you have the blessing to come to Him. The Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're influential or if you came off the streets and are literally begging for money. He loves you and wants you to have a relationship with Him and provide you a home in heaven for all eternity as you place your faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe for the first time you're hearing this, I don't know where your heart is and what you've been listening to, but I got good news for you. If this is the first time that you have come to the understanding that you can't earn your way to salvation, but have to completely depend upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can respond and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you do so by understanding that you are a sinner. I'm a sinner. That's not hard for me to admit. We are in need of a Savior. Because of our sin, we need a Savior to pay for our sins, and He did so on the cross. And if you will receive that by faith, believing that Jesus, the Son of God, died for your sins and my sins, was buried, rose again on the third day according to the Scripture, and you will confess Him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, you will be saved. He that has a Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you, that you may know that you have eternal life. My dear friend, you can know that you have eternal life based on the Word of God as you receive Jesus Christ by faith. Maybe today you're here, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today is the appointed day of salvation. Don't wait another minute. You can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And you can respond by saying yes to Jesus. I would encourage you to do so. Follower of Jesus Christ, you certainly have had a time in your life where you said yes to Jesus, where you bowed your knee, you asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you asked Him to come into your life and to save you. And if you did so and you meant it with your heart and you believed it and confessed it with your mouth, the Bible says you are saved. But you have probably figured out that life is still difficult. Life is still hard. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it's going to be hard. He said in His Word that we will have trials, that we will have tribulations in this lifetime. And so it's not that you're doing anything wrong, but you have an enemy. And as was referenced some moments ago, He came so that He would desire to still kill and to destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Will you cling to Him in your moments of desperation? Desperation is not your final destination as a follower of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we do come before You with grateful hearts because we can trust in You during the trials and tribulations that we face, during the crisis experiences, during those times of desperation. Lord, help us cling closely to You. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Find help in time of need because we serve a Savior that understands our needs, who understands our weaknesses, and will go with us through those times of desperation, through those times of crisis. Comfort us, O Lord, with the hope that is found in Jesus Christ as followers of Jesus Christ. And then, O Lord, if there's one who's never received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if there's one who needs to settle that so important decision of salvation, may it be today. We pray this in Your name. May how we respond be obedient and well-pleasing to You as we prepare for what is Your invitation to us. In Jesus' name, amen.